Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. You know I'm a big fan of enjoying life while still being smart financially. That's why I love ButcherBox. I can get a variety of high-quality meat, seafood, chicken, and pork at an amazing value, all with exclusive member deals delivered to my door with free shipping always. One thing I just never wanted to cut out of my spending plan is eating good food. And with ButcherBox, I don't have to, and neither do you. Where else can you get free protein for a whole year? Yes, you heard that right. One of my favorite go-to dinners is a salmon bowl. I'm not even a huge salmon lover, but ButcherBox's wild-caught salmon is oh so good. I make a nice little marinade, saute some veggies, cook the salmon, and throw in some Weiss. And it is an amazing dinner. If you want to take less trips to the grocery store and always have prepared meat in the freezer for a lot less money, you need ButcherBox in your life. Sign up at butcherbox.com/ETM and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/ETM. I got a question for you. What type of person are you? Are you more of a saver or do you love a good splurge? I'm honestly a huge fan of saving money, of course, but when we travel, oh man, do I love a good splurge. And I don't feel bad about it, and I don't think you should either. If you love to travel as we do, this episode is for you. You're going to walk away with some great and practical tips to help you manage that save versus splurge debate on your next trip. And if Iceland happens to be on your adventure travel checklist, our guest and fellow CFP badass, Bobby Rebel, just got back from Iceland and she will be our travel guide for this entire episode. I'm Shauna Compton-Game. This is Millennial Money. And today we're talking save versus splurge travel tips in Iceland with Bobby Rebel.
Millennial Money with Shauna Compton-Game. It will expand your brain.
I love it when I get to do a podcast episode with a CFP that I admire and really someone who I think is bringing a lot of great information about managing money to their audience, to the masses. I feel like there aren't enough people out there that are really bringing like solid, reliable money information and stories, because I feel that's really where money starts to be super impactful is when we share stories. When I share my story, when you share your stories, when we hear stories from lots of different people. And Bobby and I, we met each other through a friend. In fact, I was trying to remember when I was writing the opening to this episode how exactly we met, and it's a little bit fuzzy in my head. I find there's a lot of people in my world where it's like we've developed this super awesome connection, but I don't remember exactly how that happened. But Bobby has become one of my great friends. She's on the East Coast, I'm on the West Coast, but we share this love for helping people get in a better relationship with their money and providing as much information and tips that we really feel people need to know about money and trying to do it in a fun way. Hopefully, we're doing it in a fun way, in a way where you feel engaged and excited and motivated to actually deal with your money. I'm hoping, though, if you listen to this podcast on a regular basis, that that is certainly something that you know, you're working towards or that you like, you actually like learning about your money. So it makes it fun for me to come back here every week and continually find ways to bring you new content, to bring you new stories. It's funny, I was interviewed this week and somebody asked me, how in the world have you come up with topic ideas for 400 plus episodes? And I don't really know. I think that's what is a powerful, I guess, reason why I'm a podcast host, because for some reason, these show ideas just seem to drop into my lap, whether it's an article or somebody reaches out to me like Bobby did, or I just have this spark of an idea. In fact, some weeks I have it all planned out of what I'm going to podcast about, and then I'll go to record that podcast and some other idea will just drop in my head. And I'm like, wait a minute, I got to do this idea. And I don't even know why, but for some reason, I feel compelled to change things up. So it's a little crazy over here when we're coming up with our podcast calendar, because I have this sort of notorious reputation of changing things up last minute, which is very, very frustrating for people who are trying to plan around that. But you know, c'est la vie, right? That's the way it goes. So Bobby herself is a podcaster. She has an amazing podcast called Financial Grown Up that she launched this year. And she has an equally amazing book that was the inspiration for her podcast called How to Be a Financial Grown Up, Proven Advice from High Achievers on How to Live Your Dreams and Have Financial Freedom. I mean, hello, we all want that, right? I'm still learning how to do that. I love that idea of financial freedom. I don't know what that means to you, but to me, it means more than just not having to work. To me, it means having the right mindset around money and just really having this ease around money and around your career and around your lifestyle and, you know, chasing after all those things that you feel really called to do. So it was just an amazing book, and I'm even featured in the book. It's not a plug for me, but there is a little Shauna Game information in there. And I've been a guest on her show, A Financial Grown Up. I'll put the link in the show notes if you want to check out that episode. I talk a lot about the dirty, nasty part in my financial journey when I got divorced, a lot that I've already shared on this podcast, but I go into a little bit more detail of how hard that time period was for me and really how I had to put all of my financial lessons to work and, you know, the shame and guilt and all that other kind of crap that came along with that. So I go a little bit more in detail on that. But Bobby reached out to me. She went on this amazing trip to Iceland, which if you are a travel junkie like myself, like my husband Jeff, you know that Iceland is the hip spot right now. It's talked about everywhere, on every blog, on every site. There's an airline that has popped up called WOW Airlines, and they're super low cost flights to Reykjavik and to Iceland. Just be careful if you do book a WOW airline flight, know that the price you see doesn't necessarily include your bag, doesn't include your seat. So be sure and take that into consideration when you're looking at those prices. But Iceland is just turned into this travel destination where people want to go. They want to go experience it. They want to go experience the different adventures. They just want to hang out in a city that for some reason has this hype around it. And when Bobby reached out to me, I was really excited to do this episode because just that morning I had got emailed a question from a Millennial Money listener, Tim, who wanted me to share on a podcast episode some good save versus splurge travel tips. So I thought, well, why not combine the two? Why not learn a little bit about Iceland, have Bobby be our amazing travel guide for this episode, and also talk about, okay, how do two CFPs do the save versus splurge thing? How do we manage that? We're pretty much known as type A personalities, and I would imagine that most CFPs are pretty good on that save side, but the splurge side is where, you know, some people have a little tough time like loosening up the purse strings. Not myself. I'm probably too much of a pro on the splurge side, but you know, it's fun. You gotta have fun in life. You gotta do some things where you look back and go, oh man, maybe I shouldn't have spent that much money, but I had an amazing experience. And so who the heck cares? So you're going to want to be sure and check out the show notes for all of Bobby's info, the link to the podcast episode that I was on with her, and a few really sneaky tips that we mention in the podcast, a few things that Bobby talks about that even I didn't know about her trip that certainly surprised me. So this is an episode that you are going to want to bookmark and come back to before your next amazing trip. So Bobby, it is so great to have you back on the podcast. And this time we're talking about one of my absolute favorite subjects, travel. So great to have you back.
Thank you so much for having me. It is something that has not been a favorite thing of mine, which we can talk about, but I'm excited about getting back into travel.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. You know, I find like most people either have a love or hate it relationship when it comes to travel. And there's obviously stuff that I love. I mean, I love more things than I hate. I hate the whole airport experience. It is just a hassle every single time. I think LAX is like the worst airport ever, in my opinion. So
I'm from New York. We can talk about LaGuardia.
We could probably trade back and forth, right? We'll call it a tie.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I find like most people either are like so excited, enthused to travel, or other people are just like, you know, if I travel, great. If I don't, fine. You know, not that big of a deal. You recently traveled to Iceland, which I'm a bit jealous about. It's this, you know, hip destination. I so want to go. You know, you talked to me kind of off recording about how this maybe wasn't a place that you would typically pick to go on vacation. I'd love to know, like, how did you come up with Iceland?
So I had zero interest in going on any kind of adventure travel. And Iceland is definitely an outdoorsy adventure travel kind of place. And this came about, Shauna, because I have an 11-year-old who has not really traveled outside the country except going to locations where we just went as a family to a resort, like an all-inclusive resort. So it wasn't really travel and seeing the world. You were just having a vacation. And he was really proactively saying that he wanted to go to new places and explore the world. And I had promised him that when he came back from his 7-week sleepaway camp, that we would go somewhere international. Now, many of my friends are taking kids to places, let's say in Europe, to Italy, to Greece, and so on, or maybe to France. And for my child at 11, I felt he wasn't really ready and wouldn't necessarily appreciate going to a lot of the locations that you would go to in those places. If you go to France, for example, you might stop at the Louvre. For my child, that's not something that he would be very interested in. And I know when I went there, even as a teenager on a high school trip, which seems ridiculous now that that was a high school trip. But anyway, we were quite adventurous in that we were dropped off at the Louvre, told to be there 3 hours later and for meeting up to leave. And we promptly left the Louvre and were gallivanting around Paris. So we had no interest. So I had memories of that. So I kind of said, I got to find a better solution. So of course, I went and crowdsourced and asked tons of people different locations. And my brother, who is a little bit younger than me, had apparently, I didn't even know this, Shauna, but he had gone to Iceland a few years ago and had a wonderful time. And he started telling me about it. And I realized that this might be just the place because it was, first of all, out of the United States. And it was something where it would be a unique experience, things that my son had never seen before. And would be an active family vacation. And so I started learning more about it. I didn't really know it was a hip location, as you said. I'm not a trendy person at all. But when we looked at it, it seemed like a great place. So that's why we picked Iceland.
Yeah. And I'm super curious, you know, obviously, when I think about Iceland, I think about, you know, freezing cold weather. I know that you went this summer. So what was the weather like?
We went in August. That's really, it was cold, Shauna. It was so cold. And here's the crazy thing. We went there and everyone kept telling us that we had the best weather of the entire summer. It was 50 degrees, raw feeling. Yes. You know that raw feeling? And we did have sun, I would say, of the four and a half days we were on the ground. We had sun maybe three of the days. It really only rained for one day. And when it rains in Iceland, it rains very sporadically. The natives will tell you, if you don't like the weather, don't worry, it will change in 5 minutes. And they're absolutely correct. It's crazy there. It's constantly changing. So we had great weather for Iceland. That basically meant 50s raw cold and off and on rain.
Wow. So did you do a lot of research before you went? Like, I'm a crazy research travel person. I'm always trying to find like the best places to go eat or the best activities. Did you do all that? Or did you just kind of be a little bit more spontaneous when you got there?
I did not want to do spontaneous because, and we'll talk about why we were only there for 4 days in a few minutes, but we only had a few days there. It's a very expensive place. So I didn't want to get on the ground and waste time. I had done that in London the previous summer with my husband and made mistakes, some missteps of restaurants. Maybe had I researched better, we would have been at different ones. So I really wanted to have it well-planned. I wanted things to be very organized for my son because this was his first experience. And there were specific things that we did want to do that I had researched. For example, we really wanted to do a four-wheel drive adventure into the volcano that had exploded in, I don't know if you remember, in 2010, a lot of air travel was suspended because of this big volcano in Iceland.
Yes.
That was exploding. Right. So we wanted to go on this big adventure into the volcano, which was awesome. So there were specific things and you have to be organized in order to do that. We also had been told to go to a place called the Blue Lagoon, and that requires tickets and coordination of travel. So it wasn't the kind of place, given that we only had this short time frame, that we could be spontaneous. So we were well planned. I actually did something that I've never done and I never thought I would do, but I did engage a travel advisor, not so much an agent, but an advisor who I paid almost like a fee-only financial planner. I paid a flat fee for this advisor to help coordinate the trip. I mean, he did do the legwork as well, but that was something that was a big splurge that I had never done, but I just did not have the time to do the kind of research that I wanted to do. And this was a way to shortcut it.
That's super interesting. I've never heard of a travel advisor before. Like, what are the main differences between a travel agent, travel advisor?
The main difference is how they're paid. They will book just a hotel for you and they will get a commission and not charge you. But if they're going to book the entire trip and research where you're going and restaurants, whatever you want, all the different tour guides, different things, they will charge a flat fee, but then they're not getting commission. Or they'll, if you ask them, they're happy to disclose if they happen to be getting a commission. But basically that way I felt more secure that they weren't pushing me into certain activities only because they had certain relationships. Obviously, relationships are always a factor, but I felt more secure in doing that because I felt that they were earning their money for me. They were on my side, and I wouldn't be pushed into something that didn't make sense for what we wanted.
Interesting. So how did you find this person?
So I found, well, the company is called Ovation Travel. We can put it in your show notes. And I found it actually through a website called Fathom, F-A-T-H-O-M. And they work for them and they coordinate the trips.
Oh, that's super cool. Yeah, I've actually never heard of that. So I think that's awesome. And
I hadn't really either, but I just like the idea of not working with somebody that was purely on commission.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, that makes total sense. I mean, it's your money and you want to see where it's going. And
also knowing what my cost to them was. And I felt better knowing that they were paid because I am an advocate for people being paid appropriately. I think you should always be wary of people that quote you for a job that just seems a little too good to be true.
Yes. Exclamation mark on that one. Yeah. Absolutely. And I love when you contacted me about doing this podcast episode together, because I think the message of, you know, save versus splurge is such a great one. And, you know, it's obviously like this term that we hear a lot about. But when it comes to travel, I think people are a little like, not sure, well, what should I splurge on? What should I save? You know, you and I are both obviously CFPs. And so our inclination is just to save everywhere we can. And it's important to splurge too. So I know that's probably like the harder bit for you. So I'd love to hear a little bit about like your splurges and, you know, your attitude towards splurging.
Well, as listeners of my relatively new podcast, Financial Grown Up, which you've been a guest on, know, I do have a lot of issues with money and do have trouble sometimes being a grown up and allowing myself to spend money and not function as a college kid who's watching every penny, which it's not every college kid has to, whatever it, you know, whatever your thing is. I'm not saying that's always true. But when I was in college, I remember traveling and literally staying in youth hostels in Europe and watching every penny and to understand that it's okay to travel like a grown up a little bit. And you don't have to only choose your hotel based on price. You can also put into consideration other factors like their location. So we did. We made, I had the original quote from this travel advisor was very high. And I kind of said, whoa, we can't do that. So there were a lot of changes, and they were terrific, by the way. There were a lot of changes that we made. And one thing that I decided early on, once I started researching Iceland, I realized it's extremely expensive. Airfare is not so expensive, but it is extremely expensive. So number one, if you're looking for a bargain place to go, just honestly, if you're really on a tight budget, just there's other places. It just is what it is. There's only so much you can do. But we did decide to shorten the trip. And that's kind of the easiest way to save money. Because if you go for 4 nights instead of 6, well, boom, you've saved a third of the cost in many ways, because you've saved the hotel, you've saved all those meals, and you're going to do a little less. But the truth is, depending on the place, and in this case, Iceland, 4 days, you get a lot. And my brother had been there, as I said, and I spoke to a number of people once we targeted Iceland, and you could do a lot in 4 days. It was kind of 4 days, or you were going to tour the whole country. And then you really want a week and a half if you're going to go around the whole island. So I felt comfortable with 4 days, but that's a compromise. And that's going to cut a lot of the cost and allow us to spend more money on the days that we are there. So that was one thing that we did. We also were kind of boxed in between, as I mentioned, my son was coming back from camp. So we were already into August, which is a good month for Iceland. But I had to get my husband away from work. So that's challenging. The best time for that was around Labor Day weekend. But again, that gets pricey because that's a peak time to travel. So by moving back just one day, in terms of when we left and when we came back on the Saturday of Labor Day weekend. That cut hundreds off of our airfare.
That's a great tip for traveling around holidays and things like that, just to think about it a little bit differently and maybe find those days where people aren't traveling. I just got to ask, have you jumped on the bandwagon yet of audiobooks? Seriously, I am a huge fan of audiobooks because I can listen to them no matter where I'm at. Plus, I think just listening to a book is a great way to binge content you love while you're also doing other things that you love. And there's something about listening to a book, it brings the story to life. This weekend, I listened to one of my favorite new books, Born a Crime, from The Daily Show's Trevor Noah. Have you listened to this yet? It is so good. With Audible, you can listen to more books by switching seamlessly between devices and then just picking up where you left off. So I don't even have to remember any page numbers, which is so amazing. And Audible members get a credit every month good for any audiobook in their store, regardless of price. And unused credits, they just roll over to the next month. I don't want you to take my word for it. I want you to check out Audible yourself and join me on a one book a month quest. This has been my entire motivation for 2018, and you still got time to jump in with me. Audible is offering Millennial Money listeners a free audiobook with a 30-day trial membership. Just go to audible.com/mymoney and browse the unmatched selection of audio programs. You can download a title for free and start listening right now. Go to audible.com/mymoney, or you can text mymoney to 500-500 to get started today. In those moments when money is just not moving as fast as your dreams, Earnin provides the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then you access up to $100 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I honestly would use Earnin in lots of different ways, but what's on my mind recently is I need a night out. I need some good tacos to sip on a few virgin margaritas and celebrate you all helping this podcast earn 26 million downloads. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. Gives me a lot of peace of mind." Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in "Talkin' Money" under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. Talkin' Money under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank & Trust, member FDIC. Okay, friend, I want to know, what are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house or maybe a wedding or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical? If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund because, let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress towards your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard. You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications, and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this. They release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This, my friend, is totally original. Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. That's monarchmoney.com/ETM for your extended 30-day free trial. When it comes to financial advice, you gotta trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. The weather is getting warmer. I'm so excited, and it is time to say goodbye to all those jackets and sweaters and hello to the shorts and t-shirts. I wanted to update my summer workout wardrobe for the long haul without, you know, spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince, and I am in love. Quince is your go-to place from everything from premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part of all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Okay, I bought the dreamiest pair of workout leggings and a bright pink workout top to match. Honestly, ladies, I gotta tell you, these leggings you need. The price cannot be beat, and I feel like a million bucks wearing this cozy workout-friendly outfit. I've worn it for like 5 days straight. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/ETM for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/ETM to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/ETM.
We also got more options and less expensive options for the hotel, just to shift that one day. Now, it was a little bit tighter because we were moving my stepson into his college dorm the day before. So I had originally wanted to have 2 days buffer. So we had to adjust and just go a little bit earlier, but the savings was pretty big.
Yeah, that's such a great tip. I mean, I think really if you can just think about travel, especially around the holidays, a little bit differently and be open to adjusting one way or another, because you're right. I mean, not only can it save you money, but then you can maybe have potentially lots of different hotel options or even activities options. There's lots of change that can happen.
Exactly. Everything is less crowded. We also made sure to stay in hotels when possible that we had affiliations with. So, for example, we stayed at the Hilton in Reykjavik, And because of that, we were able to get free breakfast. And we also were able to get a room upgrade. So we had a room where we had basically, it was a room with a wall in between. So there were really two rooms. I would call it a one-bedroom suite. So my son had his own bedroom, even though it was a pull-out couch. That's fine. He's 11. But that was really nice. And you get that bump up very often when you're off peak. Again, we're slightly off peak. And then also in a hotel where you already have status, membership status. So it's always great to look for that.
And the free breakfast, I mean, people always like, I always ask for free breakfast because it's a lot of money, you know, and especially if there's more than two of you, it starts to seriously add up.
Meals are a big thing, and meals are something that is very personal. My family is not a foodie family. We eat relatively healthy, but we do not need to go to the top restaurant in the city that we're visiting, and especially with my 11-year-old. So I also thought a lot about the meals. For example, we did splurge on this one-day trip, which we'll talk about later, the four-wheel drive to the volcano. They had originally proposed a barbecue in the wilderness that was going to be, it's just so mortifying. I can't even tell you. I'm not even going to tell you the number. It's more than if you went to the fanciest restaurant in New York City per person. It's just crazy money. And I said, that's crazy money. So they said, well, there's nothing else to eat in the wilderness. So what are you going to eat? And I said, we'll bring power bars. You know what? We brought power bars and it was fine. We sat at a picnic table in this Iceland park and we ate our power bars and our guide brought a sandwich. It was great. And by the way, we could have stopped. There are plenty of bakeries and sandwich shops. You could pick up a sandwich, that kind of thing. So very often these travel companies, and by the way, if you're a foodie and you're into it, they will make you an elaborate, fantastic meal in the woods. And it can be great if that's your thing. But for us, that was not where we wanted to spend our money. So we literally, in the States, brought power bars with us to Iceland so that we wouldn't have to sit. And we also didn't want to spend huge amounts of time and have these elaborate and overpriced, in my mind, meals. So that was a big, big savings.
I can see the visual of the three of you sitting there eating your power bars in Iceland.
We were so happy. And trail mix. We had all kinds of snacks. It was totally fun. And we even brought water bottles, whatever, you know, recyclable water bottles. So we were good. The water in Iceland's really good, by the way. Very fresh from the volcano.
That's good to know. So I would imagine then you probably splurged most of your money on these activities. Is there anything else like super cool you did?
Yes. So we did the four-wheel drive to the volcano. We also went to quite a few waterfalls, one you could go under. They were just so cool. We also went to this outdoor spa called the Blue Lagoon. I have mixed feelings about that. I think that is a classic example of a tourist place that I can't say I fully regret it, because if I had not gone, I would have not gone to the Blue Lagoon, and everybody goes to the Blue Lagoon when they go to Iceland. But meh.
Really?
It really wasn't that. It was so expensive. And we were talked into the better package, not that much more. It was $20 more to have a robe and the slippers and this and that. And it was meh. It just wasn't our thing to be in this giant hot tub with hundreds of tourists.
Okay. Yes. When you put it that way,
it wasn't our thing. But I don't know that it's a mistake, because if we didn't go, we would have said, what if we went? I would advise people, if you go to Iceland, my friends, go to a high-end spa in Reykjavik. You're probably going to have a better experience with an outdoor bath, whatever they're called. Hot springs. Yeah. Go to, because this is, trust me, it'll be less than the Blue Lagoon.
Well, and I think that's another great point, is you also have to like know yourself, you know, when you're thinking about following, you know, the status quo, whenever you travel someplace, it's like, well, is this really something that we want to do before we go ahead and spend the money doing it?
Exactly. So the first version of the trip that this travel advisor gave me had us doing some activities that I knew were not right for my family. For example, it had us horseback riding. We're not horse people. They're beautiful animals, but we're not horse people. They also had us doing a whale watching tour. And for us, 3 hours on the water. And by the way, we talked to people, you don't always see the whales. And remember, the odds are it's storming rain and it's like horizontal rain, freezing cold in your face while this is happening for 3 hours, hoping to see a whale through the fog. That wasn't our thing either. So we didn't do whale watching. So you have to know your family and what you're going to be into. We loved the waterfalls. We loved the four-wheel drive. We really enjoyed the city of Reykjavik. We loved walking around. We also went to the Harpa, which is kind of like, now I'm in New York, I'm going to say the Lincoln Center, but it's a performing arts center. We went to two different shows there, which were really fun. So we enjoyed that as well. And by the way, we didn't talk about dinner. So for dinner with kids, when you travel, what worked for us is just walking the streets. We found regular restaurants, kind of like pubs, and had really fun meals there. We had a lot of fish and chips and things like that. The hors d'oeuvres at a bar were just fine. They were really fun. And it was nice because there were more local people there on the side streets. They were kind of side street restaurants, not on the main drag. And that was fine too. And it was quick and easy because we just, like I said, for us, we are not foodies, and certainly not when we're traveling with our 11-year-old. So that was a great savings too, to not be in the tourist restaurants on the main drag.
That's such a good point. What about some of the other saves? Are there any like tricks that you have up your sleeve for how you save some money?
So one that I should have known, and I caught on to in time, thankfully, because this would have been very embarrassing as a money expert, Shauna, was that there are, just like in New York, and I'm sure in LA, there are coupon books. So we went, for example, to see the Whales of Iceland exhibit, which is very good for my son. He enjoyed it, but it was hugely overpriced. I think it cost us $80 to get in for three of us. It was crazy. He wanted to see that. And we got there, and thankfully, the person at the desk asked us if we had a coupon, and we did not, but I was able to scramble one online. But there are books of coupons that you can get around town or at the tourist information center that have these 20-25% off discounts for many tourist attractions. And that's a gimme. I should have known that because most cities have those. And I don't know what I was thinking that I didn't go pick that up early on, but that's something everyone should get in their city. And also, if you're shopping, and we didn't buy that many big things, but we did buy a couple of sweaters because Iceland has these cool sweaters. And when you do that, if you spend a certain amount of money, really anywhere in Europe, I believe, you should get the receipt so that when you go to the airport, you can get your VAT tax refunded. So that's taking the time to do it. We did get a nice bit of money back from that. So that's something. And also along the tourist stuff, there are a lot of free walking tours. So in Iceland, if you just go to the big church there, outside there, there's a lot of free walking tours. We weren't able to time it to go on one of them, but there are so many wonderful free walking tours in cities like Reykjavik that you can take advantage of just by showing up. Sometimes you have to make a reservation, but they're absolutely worth going to because I think you appreciate the city a little bit more if you get a lay of the land.
Yeah, absolutely. And you get a feel for how local people live and, you know, what the neighborhoods are like and all of those sorts of things. So obviously you described the weather. Did you guys have to buy any like special clothing gear or anything to prep for the trip?
Oh my gosh, Shauna. So I am in my 40s. I have never had to own rain pants. I had to buy rain pants because, first of all, it's raining all the time. You don't want to sit in the wet. But also, we were traveling in places where you would get wet. You're walking among these waterfalls. So we had rain gear head to toe. Ridiculous looking. I look like the Michelin tire man because also I'm wearing, you just have to get over. It's not a pretty trip. If anyone likes to look pretty on vacation, not the right place. So I had layers. I had like long underwear, then I had sweatpants, then I had jeans, and then I had the rain pants. So I had four layers on. And it's August, remember? So it was a lot. But yeah, we had rain gear head to toe. But don't bring umbrellas because they'll just be snapped away in the rain. There's no point to an umbrella.
So you just have to completely deck yourself out in rain gear.
You need to buy the rain pants. Just get over it. Yep. Oh, and gloves. You need to bring gloves that are sort of appropriate for mountain climbing because you're kind of climbing mountains too, hiking and climbing mountains. It's not a delicate trip, Shauna.
I'm learning this. I'm definitely going to need that spa visit, to kind of...
A different spa though, not the Blue Lagoon.
That is right. A different spa to relax and be able to remove all my wet gear. I love it. Well, I'd love to know, you know, as we're just kind of wrapping up, like there are obviously like so many great tips that you gave that could be used anywhere you travel. You know, you talk about the coupon book. I mean, you know, that's something I forget often because I think in Europe, that's something that you do. But in the US, you're like, coupon book? I wouldn't think of a coupon book. But things like that, you know, they at least start jogging your brain. So, you know, thinking back on this trip, is there anything that stands out to you as maybe like lessons you learned or some of the best things that you learned about yourself from this trip?
I think we've gone through some of them, but I think it's important to just pay attention to everything and enjoy the trip. Once you've planned it, you really should be in the moment and not worrying about the money. I mean, you should watch your money, of course, as you go along. Don't be frivolous with it. But so we splurged on this tour guide for the two middle days in the wilderness. And when I first saw the price, which I mean, I'm not even going to tell everyone the price because it was so mortifying to me. But again, we were saving a lot of other places. You have to just detach from that and just enjoy it. and remember that you're there to enjoy it and just forget that you've already, you know, it's sort of a done deal and move forward. And that was something that I really had to come to terms with, that once you're there, focus on the, be in the moment and get over the money. Yeah. If once you've made that decision to spend a what for you, whatever is a big number for you in your mind, enjoy it.
Yeah, I think that's such a great tip, because I think, you know, particularly if you're probably somebody listening like us that's maybe a little bit type A and, you know, pays attention to the numbers. I mean, I have to admit that sometimes when I travel, I'm like, okay, I'm not going to look at the, you know, obviously I check to make sure all the charges are correct, but I am not going to fixate on whatever we spent, or if we spent a little too much on a dinner, or we decided to do something a little bit spontaneous, because that's what the vacation or the trip is there for, is to have these experiences. So when I get home, I'll deal with it, but, you know, not to just kind of, you know, be filled with anxiety at the thought of, well, maybe we're spending a little bit more than we should.
Exactly. And, you know, little procedural things. I mean, just know the customs of the country that you're in. For example, in most of Europe and in Iceland, the tip is already included in the check. Also know when you're in Europe, but in a place where there's euros and a local currency. So in Iceland, there's the krona and the euro. Be aware of what currency they're talking about. And also know, in our case, the krona was the better deal. If they ask you which one you would like to pay in, know the right answer in advance. So that's a question of asking someone or doing the math yourself. We had learned in advance it's better to pay in krona than in euros. And that's another thing. When my trip was originally quoted to me, it was in euros, not dollars. So it's important to know that if you are traveling to a country, make sure that the quote you get is in dollars, or that you convert it to dollars, or wherever you're coming from. I know you might have some international listeners as well.
Ooh, that is such a great tip. I love that one. So you are one of my fellow favorite podcasters. You started your podcast, Financial Grown Up, this year. And I love listening.
And you were one of my first guests.
I love it. Yes. And I love listening to all your episodes. I'll make sure and link to the episode that I did on your podcast in the show notes so people can check that out as well. But tell me a little bit about the podcast and where people can find you.
So the podcast has been a labor of love. I never thought I would enjoy it as much as I do. I really feel like I found my calling. I know that sounds really cheesy, but I loved being a broadcast journalist. My background is working for places like Reuters and CNBC and CNN, interviewing a lot of CEOs and economists about the Fed and earnings. And this is really something that has been so wonderful to me, because on Financial Grown Up, we really talk about the human side of money, and we get unique stories in almost every case. They've never been heard elsewhere, sharing a money experience that had meaning to the guest. And they share their lessons and their perspectives and the takeaways for our listeners. I also push people to do everyday money tips, which are often really fun, sometimes super quirky as well, which has been really interesting to see the kinds of things people come up with, and all wrapped up in only about 15 minutes. So in addition to the great Shauna Game, we have had everyone from Kevin O'Leary, David Bach, Gene Chatsky, Perez Hilton. I just, so many amazing, amazing guests come on. Randy Zuckerberg was on. We have an incredible lineup for the fall. So I've been having a great time. You can find the Financial Grown Up podcast everywhere podcasts are. My website, which can also get you to the podcast, is bobbyrebell.com, BOBBIREBELL.com. On social media, on Twitter, I am at Bobby Rebell. On Instagram, I am at Bobby Rebell 1. So that's the number 1 after Bobby Rebell. And on Facebook, Bobby Rebell is my professional author / podcast page, because I have a book too called How to Be a Financial Grown Up that is coming out in paperback this fall. So that's exciting. And that's about it. Yeah, come to my website, sign up for my newsletter. We're going to get that going in the fall as well. Newsletter's been sporadic. We can't do everything well, right? I'm working on it. It's a process.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us on this episode of Millennial Money. I'll be back on Friday with a fresh episode for you to check out. But in the meantime, if you love this episode and you found value in the content we share with you, I totally appreciate it if you do me a favor. Head on over to iTunes, rate and review the podcast. I promise to be your BFF for life.